bird, but of a variety that clung stubbornly to some of its fruit throughout the winter. That fruit was tough and dry, but it grew tastier as we moved farther from civilization and any place where we could acquire more palatable foods. The route the captain insisted we follow was one that had received very little preparation, and there were no navigable waterways up which barges could carry supplies. We had cattle along. The animals could sustain themselves, poorly, off the vegetation. Those of us willing to eat flesh could gnaw on their stringy meat. But we were just getting started here, and already, I was convinced that Croker had made the wrong choice, attacking now. Those soldiers, who were vegetarians, suffered terribly. The morning wind had a real bite. This definitely was no season for travel. We could end up in real trouble if Mogaba held us up for long. That might be a good strategy for him to pursue. Just hold us at Charandaprash while all our forces came together with all their camp followers, then continue to hold us there while we exhausted our resources. Then he could slaughter the starving remnants as they tried to flee. Though he never mentioned it in so many words, part of Croker's plan was to replenish our army by seizing supplies Mogaba had laid in for his. The captain very much counted on victory now, soon, however cautiously he talked. He'd put us in a position where there was no other choice. The region around Shadowlight remained prosperous even after the earthquake, but already that was 4 hard days' march behind us. Our foragers were eating up half what they gathered just bringing it in. Long Shadow remained unconvinced that our advance was for real. He had a distinct problem imagining minds working differently from his own. Mogaba entertained doubts himself, though the deceivers and his own agents kept him informed of all the disasters to the Shadow Master's cause. Few of the quake-battered towns and cities made more than token attempts to resist. The captain had chosen his moment well, if emotionally. Dark gray indigo mountains spanned the southern horizon. Charandaprash was just days away. The captain slowed our advance to a very deliberate pace, so the soldiers would have more time to hunt and forage. Our part of the army began coming together in larger and larger forces. Mogaba's cavalry didn't seem much inclined to skirmish yet. Ahead of us, streamers of smoke sometimes rose as fleeing enemy caravans failed to run fast enough to outdistance our own horsemen. Our headquarters party clung to the road. Always now there seemed to be corpses lying beside it. They came in all varieties, few of them being our own people. Croker had forced me out of One Eye's wagon. I was no longer allowed inside while we were moving, so I led the way, mounted atop that giant black stallion, always presenting the black company standard. Crows were around constantly. I expect Soulcatcher, wherever she took their reports, was thoroughly amused. The standard was one we'd adapted from one she'd assigned us decades ago, based upon her own fire-breathing skull of a seal. Uncle Doge walked beside me. He carried a lance as well as Ashwand, his holy sword. He'd assumed the job of bodyguard while Tai Day was elsewhere with his mother. We too encountered all the corpses first. "There's another one that looks like a deceiver," I said, indicating